We are continuing on the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. In today's reading, Paul has come to the city of Corinth. To the city of Corinth. Now, when I say the city of Corinth, some of you may, that have been reading your Bible for a period of time, you may kind of have an idea of the type, I don't want to say type of people, but I guess that's how I'll say it. The type of people that made up the city of Corinth. It was a fair bit different than Athens. A whole new atmosphere, if you will, in the city of Corinth. And we're going to talk about that here by way of introduction. The city of Corinth was the political and the commercial center of the area of Greece. This area would be conquered eventually by Rome, or was conquered by Rome, and but a very, very important place within the country of Greece. Several things that this area was famous for. Number one, it was famous for its sporting events. They had a sporting events similar to the Olympics, but not the Olympics. They were called the Isthmian Games. Isthmian Games. And they would have them very much similar to the Olympics. There would be competition of all sorts. They also were known for their working with bronze and their working with pottery. These are some of the things that maybe we could say were good things to be known for. But unfortunately, the city of Corinth has a really bad reputation for many other ways that they conducted themselves. They were famous for their 12 pagan temples. 12 pagan temples. One of these pagan temples was to the goddess Aphrodite. It was built up on a hill. Okay? Again, I'm giving you this because this is the city where Paul is now preaching. This is the city where Paul, by himself right now, but we're going to look at some things, the way God put some things together, I think is really neat in this chapter. Having left Athens, a very refined, a very cultured, a very, I'm not saying the people in Corinth weren't educated, but a very highbrow city, if you will, like Athens, and now shifting over to Corinth, The whole temperature of the people changes in their way of living. This particular temple to Aphrodite had a very, not a claim to fame, but it had within it 1,000 temple prostitutes. To me, those two terms don't go together, do they? Temple and prostitute. But that's what they had in Corinth. And that's why they would go to the temple. It wasn't to worship God. In fact, you could probably say that the God of Corinth, if you will, would have been sex, if you will. Very wicked city. It would have been emphasized time and time again. I wrote down that it was a very wealthy, worldly, and wicked city. And yet we look at the city of Corinth, and I don't think we have to go very far in thinking about some of the places that might even be close to us. While we don't have this temple to Aphrodite that they had in their day, it's not like we live in a city that's necessarily following the things of God wholeheartedly. It's not like we live in a community today that's fearing God like it ought to be. So I think many times we can look, I can look at Paul going into Corinth and I can think, okay, maybe we have some of that in our day. Maybe we have some of this type of living in 2021, just like Paul did. How was Paul going to approach ministry in Corinth? Would it be like he did in Athens? Would it be like he did in the other cities, in Ephesus and so forth, the other cities that he'll be? How was he going to approach ministry? You know what we find in reading just a few moments ago? The very same way. Nothing changed from one city to the next. It didn't matter the spiritual temperature of the city. Paul went in and preached the word of God. Paul went into the synagogues and preached the word of God, that Jesus was Christ. It doesn't matter the condition of our city today. They need the very same message that saved you. They need the same message that saved me. They need the glorious gospel, the life-changing gospel that changes us from the inside out. We might say, well, I would never be like those people in Corinth. In fact, they took on that title. They were called, oh, you're a Corinthian. And when you were called a Corinthian in this day, it wasn't because you were faithful to serving the Lord. It's because of the wicked lifestyle that you were living. This is the type of place that Paul is bringing himself to. This is the place where God is bringing himself to. How would the ministry see success in such a place like this? Well, again, it's not based on the people, but it's based on the faithful proclamation of the Word of God. I'm thankful that in 2021, we have something to give everyone, the gospel. I'm thankful that in 2021, the message is not different than it was when Anchor Baptist Church started in 2001. The message is still the same. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ wants to be our Lord. Jesus Christ can make the difference in our life. The message will never change. I'm thankful for that. But I noticed several things in these few verses. I'd like to give them to you with regards to the Apostle Paul. Number one, I see in these verses that Paul had help. Isn't it just amazing how God sovereignly directed Paul to someone that thought like him? Say, who was that? It was Aquila. They had the same profession. The Bible says they were tent makers. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says that, and found a certain Jew named Aquila. Now, when you say, and found, that means God put Paul in the path of Aquila. Think about this. God is putting us in the path of certain people every day of our life. God is putting you and God is putting me in the path of people. God put Paul in the path of Aquila, and it was exactly the person he needed to meet. Notice, he came unto them. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft of all the city of Corinth, who was he to meet? Someone who did the same job as him. Someone who worked with leather. That's what they did. They worked with leather. And someone who did the same job. It just so happened. That's not how God works, friends. God is sovereign. God has a perfect plan for Anchor Baptist Church this fall. What is it? Let's follow the leading of the Lord. Let's follow the Holy Spirit of God. And when I say pray for me, that's not just, you know, a 30-second token in the morning. Pray for the pastor. Pray for Anchor Baptist as we seek God's will. No, we need to intercede on behalf of another, fervently praying for God. I believe God has the perfect will. Just like Paul, God had a man for him, and it was and Aquila and Priscilla, both of them for him, and he needed a place to stay. He ends up staying with someone who thought like him, who worked in the same profession. What do you know? Let's keep reading verse number 3. He abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. They were tent makers. They were also believers. Most believe that by this time they had already gotten saved. They had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'll talk more about that in just a minute. Let me just have us go into the Old Testament, back to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Paul goes into Corinth, a very wicked city. But who would Paul meet right away? Paul would meet a godly man named Aquila. Paul would meet a godly woman named Priscilla. God had them there. God had them prepared for Paul. God had them prepared for the ministry that was about to happen. A church was going to be started. Even in that sin-sick city, like Corinth, there's a remnant. There's a remnant of people that will believe. There's a remnant of people that will come to Christ. Look what it says in 2 Kings. Did I say 1 Kings? 2 Kings, that's correct. All right, 2 Kings 19. Verse number 30. Thinking about this word remnant. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and do what? Bear fruit upward. Folks, it's very important that we put our roots down deep into the Word of God. This book that you hold in your hand right now, I hope you read it this morning. I hope you prayed over it this morning. I hope you searched in it this morning for some food for the day, for some nourishment for the day, not just for yours nourishment, but for the nourishment of others, for the benefit of others. I hope you did. Notice it says there, verse 31, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this, a remnant. Turn over to Ezra now. Ezra chapter number 9. Right before Nehemiah. Nehemiah, shortest man in the Bible, right? I remember we used to say that around Brother Art, and Art would say, no, there was somebody else shorter than Nehemiah. I may even remember Brother Art. We'll be there soon, Brother Art. Save us a seat. He used to say, Bildad the Shuhite. I'm giving credit to Brother Art for that. Bildad the Shuhite. That's pretty short. Maybe there's somebody shorter than that in the Bible. I don't know. But anyway, Ezra 9. I love this verse. Ezra 9 and verse 8. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a what? Remnant. Remnant. To escape. And to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. There's always a remnant. Paul had help. Paul obeyed the leading of the Lord, and Paul found Aquila and Priscilla. God always has a people. God always has believers. I'm thankful to be your brother in Christ if you're saved today. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We were going astray, and He brought us into the fold once again. Aren't you glad the Lord reached down from heaven and pulled you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock? You and I, as believers, are part of that remnant. By the way, there's saved people everywhere. Don't be discouraged by all of the rejection. There are believers everywhere. We handed out just maybe a few hundred gospel tracts on Tuesday night. And I had a believer call the other day who got one in the mailbox, greatly encouraged by the gospel being spread in her neighborhood. That was just one little evening on a Tuesday, few hundred gospel tracts. Look, let's be encouraged today that there are people all over the Vancouver area that are standing for right. Yes, there needs to be more. But there's a remnant. Paul went into Corinth, and there was a remnant, even in a place like Corinth. Paul was led by the Lord. And God puts him in the right place at the right time. That's what I want to be. In the right place at the right time. How do you do that? You listen to the Spirit. That still small voice speaks through His Word. Speaks through circumstances. Speaks through life in general. Speaks through other people. The name Aquila means eagle. Eagle. He had to fly away from Rome. You see that there? They were a little prejudiced in Rome. They kicked all the Jews out of Rome. He might have thought on his way out of town, what's God doing? What's God doing? Sometimes things come into your life and come into my life like that. Something doesn't work out exactly like we thought it should work out, even when we were doing the right thing, and yet God doesn't let it go any further, and it's like hitting a brick wall, and we can't move ahead anymore, and yet God is doing something that He sees beyond that. He's causing a 180 turn. He's causing a 360 turn, so that what we thought we were going the right way, and yet God says, no, I need you to go the other way. God shut the door on Aquila and Priscilla in Rome so that they would be in Corinth when Paul got there. See, God is always working for our good and His glory. Don't try to kick open a shut door. If the door is shut, God, okay, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And God doesn't open the door. Okay, God, I'm going this way now. Lead me. Lead me. I'm looking at some people I won't mention by name, but I'm looking at some people that in recent days, doors have shut. And we may not understand why the doors have shut, but they've shut. But again, I encourage you, just because the door is shut doesn't mean God is upset with you or upset with me or doesn't have something better for us. I believe God had something great for Aquila. It was the ground of breaking time of starting that church. God had to get him out of Rome and get him down to Corinth in time to meet Paul. Sovereignty of God. Don't lose sight of it. Persecution did not defeat Aquila. He kept on going. A tent maker, like we said, working with leather. Possibly, as I read a little bit more about him, he's not mentioned much in the Bible, but many people believe that he got saved in Pontus after people came back from Pentecost with the message of what God had done. His wife, Priscilla, she's never mentioned by herself. Interesting. Always mentioned with Aquila. Supported, a helpmeet. See, God is always leading. God is always leading to a particular people. God is always leading to a prepared people. God was leading Paul. But at the same time, think of this, on the other end, God was leading Aquila. Paul had help. That's the first thing I see. But number two, I believe we see in our text, number two, verses 5-8, Paul had a heart. Paul had a heart. I believe Paul got into Corinth based on what we're going to read here in just a minute. I believe Paul began to size up the city. I believe Paul began to see what was happening. I believe Paul's heart began to break for the sin of the city. I believe Paul's heart began to break for the people who were broken and didn't even know it. It's amazing how sin can break someone to the point that they don't even recognize that they're hurting. In other words, sin and a sensual lifestyle had become so normal that the effects of the sin of the people of Corinth was just, that's just what happens. This is what we do here. This is how we live here. And yet, we know there's a better way to live than following the works of the flesh. We know there's a better way to follow than following the works of Satan himself. No, there's freedom in Christ. There's bondage in sin. I believe Paul had a heart for the people of Corinth, and I'm praying that God would give you and God would give me a greater heart for the people that we see, the people that we work with, the people that we live by, the people that we shop with, the people that God brings in our path. God is working on this end in their life. God is working on this end in my life to bring us on a collision course. Why? Because God loves everyone. God loved the wicked sinners of Corinth. He didn't love their wicked sin, of course, but God loves the wicked sinner of Corinth, and God loves the wicked sinners of Burnaby, and God loves the wicked sinners of Coquitlam, and on it goes. And I'm asking you to pray to the God of heaven that we too would have a heart, like it said about the Apostle Paul, that he was pressed in the Spirit. See that in verse 5? You know, I think it's sad if we live our life every day and the concern for lost people is waning, dwindling. That's a very dangerous place to be as a Christian. That we get to a place of apathy. We get to a place where, well, hey, you know what? If they don't get saved, tough. Maybe we would never voice that. But I pray that we, like Paul, would have a heart. You see, sin always robs us of joy. Sin always robs us of peace. Sin does not bring any fulfillment. In fact, we know this to be the case in our own lives personally. Sin always cries out for more. I just do it one more time, everything will be fine. No, sin says do it again. Just one more time and sin says do it again. This is the place where Paul was. He was surrounded by people that were captive to sin. Paul recognized the depravity. Paul recognized the emptiness. Paul wanted to make a difference. Notice, as I said, this statement, pressed in the spirit. Here's something that I found, a quote. It means to hold fast of a prisoner. To hold fast of a prisoner. Metaphorically, to be held by. You get it? He was captivated by the need of the people in Corinth to be closely occupied with any business, to constrain, to oppress, of ills laying hold of one and distressing them. Paul was a prisoner in the sense of his spirit was pressed to the point where he needed to do something for these people. And what was it that he needed to do? Look at verse 5. And testified to the Jews what? Jesus was Christ. It was the same message in every place that Paul went. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ can save you. Jesus Christ can free you of this bondage of sin that you're living in. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. This is one of the two epistles that Paul would eventually write back to the church at Corinth. And again, unfortunately, as you study the two epistles, you're going to find that the world crept into the church. The worldliness of Corinth crept into the church, and it's something that you and I need to be on guard against. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. It's not, let's go out and live with the Steberles for the next 365 days and never leave the campground and just sing and preach and read the Bible every day for 365 days. I don't believe that's what God has for us to do. That's not being salt and light. There's a point and there's a purpose for it in segments of time. God didn't save me to go hide out in a cave somewhere. God saved me to take His light and His message and have it shine through me. And the same for you as we go out into this world is to take the message of hope that we have in Christ to the world that we live in. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. Paul writes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. This is, again, Paul writing back to the church at Corinth. What we read in Acts is him going to the church at Corinth. Now he's writing back to this people that he's witnessed to and he's worked with for 18 months. And he's saying, what keeps me pressed in the Spirit? What keeps me preaching the message of the gospel? What keeps me reading the Word of God and reading it to my family? And what keeps me sharing the gospel with others? It's the love of Christ. It's constraining. It's gripping. That if Christ, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Notice in verse 5, as we go back to our text, Acts 18:5, we see that word testified. The word testified. To earnestly give a charge. To earnestly give a charge. Paul's duty was to be a witness. It was not only a duty, it was a delight. He preached the most important message that anyone could ever preach. I'd like to read to you quickly from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the second verse. I'll read verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, hey, think about it. 1 Corinthians 2, 1, when I came to you, this is what we're reading about in Acts. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. See, let's not be intimidated by how we think we can't say something. Well, I can't say it like that person can say it. I can't put the gospel into that way. No, Paul said, I didn't come to you in excellency of speech. It's not about the speaker. It's about the message. The message can be given through sign language without even saying a word and have powerful and be received and change a life. The message can be given through Braille and no one speaking and somebody just reading the words on the fingers. It's not me, it's not you. Paul said, I didn't come with excellency of speech, but notice what he said, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. Only one thing I wanted you to know, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we must continue to do today. We must continue to preach the same message that Paul preached. The message of simplicity. The message of narrowness. It's a narrow message, right? Matthew 7:14 says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. It's a way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I encourage you this morning, while we never know who will receive it or reject it, let me encourage you, keep preaching, keep inviting, keep telling, keep praying, keep loving the lost. Paul said, I was pressed in the Spirit. He had a heart. Then lastly, verses 9 to 11. I love this. I love what it says here. Verse 9. Then spake Lord Paul. Number 3. All heard from the Lord. All heard from the Lord. You know, every time we obey the Lord, God's going to give us more. Every time we follow the leading of the Lord, He's going to tell us something else. Paul was just following one step after another, and he kept hearing from the Lord. He kept getting, he didn't have a Bible like we have today, right? Obviously. So, he heard directly from the Lord. But don't think that you don't have just as much as he had, because we have a more sure word of prophecy. This book right here, every time you open it, you're hearing from God. Every time we read it, we're hearing from God. It is direct from God, His Word. But notice what it says. He spoke to Paul in a vision. This is some great, great words for us to hear today. What did he say? Be not afraid. I think we need to emphasize that, don't we? Be not afraid. Paul was going into the den of the sinful den of lions, if you will. Not a popular message. Jesus said to him in the dream, but speak. Don't be afraid. Speak. Hold not thy peace. That's the same thing as speak. Keep talking. Keep giving the message. But here is the encouragement that we all need today, because it's not just for Paul thousands of years ago. It's for me today and for you today. For I am with thee. Church, be not afraid. Hold not your peace. Speak the truth of the Word of God, because God is with us today. And He will always be with us. He was with Paul. He's with us today. He was with Paul. He'll be with us tomorrow. Should we live and He tarry His coming. These are words of hope. These are words of encouragement. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. I bet it looked really bad when he went in and heard about those 1,000 prostitutes at the temple and heard about all that was going on. I bet he thought, oh my, I'm not stopping here. I'm going to the next city. No, the Bible said he was pressed in the Spirit. And the Lord said, be afraid. Keep speaking. Keep loving. Most importantly, the Lord said, I'm with you. Look, folks, God has never abandoned His children. God will never abandon His children. Even when we fail Him, He never fails me. Even when I rebel, He never rebels against me. He chastises me. Thank you. I need it. He disciplines me. Thank you, I need it. He always does it in love. He says, for I am with thee. How about this? And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. I'm with you, and I'll protect you. I believe we have the same promise today. I'm with you, and I'll protect you. For I like this. These next two words. After have, look what God says to Paul about Corinth. I have much people. You see those words? In Corinth? Sin City? You know? Maybe the Las Vegas of the day? I don't know. Whatever city you think of. Sin City, God says, I have much people here. By the way, there was a church coming. The church hadn't been established yet, but it was coming, and yes, there would be a group of people there. The Bible says that he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the Word of God. The gospel message always faces opposition. The gospel message will be rejected by some. The gospel message must continue to be preached. Here's what I wrote down about verse number 10. Number one, I see an assurance here. Do you need assurance today? I'm not saying assurance of salvation, but just assurance that God is on his throne, that God is working, that even though some things in this world seem to be all out of whack, God gives us the assurance, I'm with you. I'm with you. I believe there are promises here. There are promises here. That's one of them, that he's with me. I think there's security mentioned by God here. I think there's salvation mentioned to God here. He said, I have much people in this city. You believe God has done saving souls in the city that you live in? You believe God has done saving souls in Burnaby? I don't think so. There's still people that want the message of the gospel. There's still people that want help. I'm thankful that we have the same message today that Paul had as he entered into the city of Corinth. Paul had help. Look, you're not alone. Look around you. You're not alone. Now we have the Lord. We've been talking about that. But the Lord's given us his church. Pray for one another. I hope we truly do love one another. We're all different. We all see things differently. But we have unity. We have unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had help. I want you to know you have help today. Hey, if you need help with something, don't just keep trying to do it on your own. Reach out to someone. God could be bringing a collision course. I believe that was what was happening. Paul and Aquila. Paul and Aquila. Boom. It's not always pain-free, by the way. Be tossed out of the city of Athens. I don't know how that must have felt to Aquila. Secondly, Paul had a heart. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. Look on the people today. Look on people today as Jesus would, as sheep without a shepherd. And then lastly, Paul heard from the Lord. You need to hear from the Lord? I do. How do we hear from the Lord? We need to keep following what we already know is right. We need to keep following what we already know is His will. Even in the city of Corinth, God had much people. God wanted to do a work. Why? Because God loved the Corinthians. Might I say today, God loves us. God has a purpose for you being alive and me being alive in 2021. It's far greater than we may even think it is. Let's stay faithful. Let's stay true to Him. As we follow how Paul worked in Corinth, may God help us this week as we go to our mission field.